The following message was given by Brothers Timothy Hung and Peter Shao in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 22, 2019. The title of the message is Speaking to the Rock to Drink of the Spirit as the Water of Life, and Digging the Well to Allow the Spirit as the Water of Life to Flow Freely within us. Scripture reading, Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 13, Numbers chapter 21, verses 16 through 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, John chapter 19, verse 34, chapter 4, verse 14, and chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 15, Psalms chapter 78, verse 15 through 16, Psalms 105:41, and Isaiah chapter 48, verse 21.
We come to the matter of drinking. Eating and drinking are very common to our daily living. I know some saints, they don't eat breakfast. People told me breakfast is very important. In fact, the most important part of our daily eating. So the eating in the Bible, in fact, we may think, you know, eating, drinking is very common. In fact, eating and drinking in the Bible is very basic and very important. In fact, our relationship with God depends on eating and depends on drinking. Because once when the man was created, God put man in a garden. In the midst of the garden, there was a tree of life. And the tree of life was good for food. God didn't tell man to keep a lot of regulations. Rather, God just told man, you need to eat. So it is very crucial to our Christian life. In fact, this time, when we cover, you know, we are under, in case someone not aware that we are covering the crystallization training on the book of Numbers. That's why we have the verses in Numbers. But this morning, we are covering concerning the drinking, and we use also the verses in Exodus 17. So, in the matter of eating and drinking, is in fact when we went through the eating concerning the eating last week, it was very touched me, and it was mentioned in the life study messages concerning the matter of eating manna is the most important point in the whole book of Exodus. I was surprised. You know, in Exodus, there are so many important things, but this matter of eating, it was pointed out as the most important thing. So I just want to touch a little bit before I go into the matter of drinking. Why is it important? I was wondering. Of course, God wants to bring his people out of Egypt, and we all are God's people today. And they came out, they had the Passover. Of course, God, through the plagues, saved the children of Israel and released them from Pharaoh's control and the tyranny. When it came out, I thought the Passover was very important. But Passover was just the initial step. You know, for us, you know, we enjoy very much around the Lord's table that you know, the Lord died on the cross for us. He did not save himself so he can save us. I thought that was very important. But that's only the beginning. Of course, Exodus, we see God's ultimate purpose is to build his tabernacle. You know, Exodus ends with the erecting of the tabernacle and the filling up of God's glory in the tabernacle. And which is a big contrast to Genesis, ended with Joseph in a coffin placed in Egypt. So I thought the tabernacle was the most important thing. But in fact, broadly pointed out that if the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they built a tabernacle. In fact, God's dwelling place is not just that physical place. God's dwelling place, in fact, is his people. So if his people is not right, whatever they build, that, you know, that is not what God wants. God wants to dwell among his people. That's why his people are very, very important. Today, we are God's people. If we are not right, then God has no way to build up his dwelling place. That's why God will never live among all the Egyptians, right? That's why he called his people out. But when his people came out, they are Egyptians. They were Egyptians. Hourly, you know, they are God's people. You know, they are descendants of Abraham. But in their constitution, they are just 100% Egyptians. And we will see in this portion of the word, again, it came out, you know. So I just feel that I'm very touched concerning the matter of eating. Then you will say, okay, drinking. Now we're covering drinking. Maybe drinking is the second important, right? Eating and drinking. In fact, eating and drinking, they are one thing. They are one. I think everybody ate breakfast this morning. Did you drink? Fabrice, did you drink? You ate your breakfast, you drink something. So eating goes with drinking. In fact, eventually, you know, in Exodus, in Genesis, it was, you know, tree of life first, then was a river flowing in the garden, and there was for water. And again, in Exodus, it's concerning, firstly, the manna in chapter 16, then in Exodus 17, it was concerning the cleft rock. So the water came out so they can drink. So again, in John, chapter 6, the Lord mentioned he's the bread from heaven. Then in chapter 7, then he spoke concerning, you know, the last day, the great day of the feast. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. So it's kind of, it's eating first, then drinking first, then drinking next. But if you come to the end of the Bible, we will see that in chapter 22 of Revelation, it was the river of water of life from the throne first. Then they mentioned about the tree of life on both sides of the river. So we see, in fact, toward the end, even according to our experience, the two are one thing, because the water flows, it carries, you know, both sides of the tree of life and providing the food. So in fact, the food, you may say, is in the water. To put it in another way, the riches of God's life, typified by the tree of life, are brought to us through the river, the flowing river of life. So the two are just one of the same thing that we need to always to have both. So I mentioned a few things concerning the drinking, and our brother Peter will finish up how we're covering in Numbers. Of course, in this message, the title of the message is concerning speaking to the rock, to drink the spirit as the water of life. So the important thing is speaking. The difference between Exodus 17 and Numbers 20 is in Exodus 17, God told Moses to strike the rock once and the water flow. And but in Numbers, in Numbers chapter 20, the Lord told Moses, go and speak to the rock. But Moses didn't do that. He struck the rock rather twice. And still, abundant water came out and quenched the people's thirst. But this, Moses violated God's economy, because we sang many hymns concerning the Lord's crucifixion, his redemption, and he only need to die once on the cross to shed his blood and to flow out the water to quench our thirst. You know, we had the verse in John 17. Maybe we can read that verse together. John 17, 1934. Can we read that verse together? But one soldier. So when the Lord died on the cross, the soldiers pierced his side because they want to see whether he has died. And out came blood and water. So the blood was for redemption, for the judicial salvation, to take care of our guilt of sin. But the water is for organic salvation. You know, that's typified. You know, the water come out, flow in. That typify the flowing water of life. That is the Spirit. You know, the Spirit brings life to us. And this verse is connected to John 7. We have the verses on John 7 also, 37 and 39. Right. Maybe we can read that three verses together. Now, on the last day, rivers. But this he said concerning about to receive. Spirit was not yet glorified. So this verse is very clear, tells us that the Spirit is the living water. But the Spirit, when the Lord Jesus was speaking this word, the Spirit was not yet. So the flowing out was not yet. You know, it's after the Lord accomplished redemption, then the Spirit, you know, the Lord was glorified, then the Spirit was available for us to drink. So the striking the rock is not a small thing, because the water to come out, and in the type, in Exodus, it came out once the striking is there. But that means the Lord has to die. That means he has to be incarnated, and he has to live on the earth. Then eventually he will die on the cross. Then he became, in resurrection, the life-giving Spirit. Then there is the flowing of the water of life. That's why the title, in the title he mentioned, speaking to the rock. That speaking to the rock means the rock, for us to drink, he has to die, he has to be crucified, and it has to be resurrected. So the rock, in fact, the flowing of the water was signifying the water is the water in resurrection. Because that is the Spirit. Spirit has to be, the Lord has to be glorified in order for the water of life to come out. So we all can, today, this morning, what were we doing around the Lord's table? We were eating and we were drinking. So because the Spirit is available to us, so it's very precious for us to see that God's economy is for us to drink him, to eat him. Okay, here I just want to mention something. It touches me that Moses, the first time in Exodus 17, he struck the rock once. The second time in Numbers 20, that was much later, you know. In the context, chapter 20 and 21, we see that Miriam died, Moses' older sister, and Aaron died also. There was Moses' older brother. So it was much later, even toward the end of their journey in the wilderness. And in fact, when I read the word, I kind of convinced that the purpose of God leading his people is to enter into the good land. But the whole generation, you know, on one hand, the Lord did so much for them, but every time when they have a need, they just complain, right? Complain no food, complain no drink. And, you know, even after Numbers 20, 21, they still have a long journey before entering into the good land. So, my realization is, God's purpose is to bring us into the good land, but our own man cannot do it. Our own man will never make it to the good land. So God has to let, you know, God use all kinds of situations to expose that we cannot do it. We cannot make it. Until we acknowledge and we realize and we come to Him, then God still need to, you know, many situations happen, cause us to realize, I cannot do it. This morning, I cannot do it standing here. We all cannot do it. Many things in our daily living. Many things in our daily living. You know, the children of Israel, it touches me very much. They are seeing miracles daily. Manna coming out. But when they don't have water, they just complain. Are we going to thirsty? We all will die of thirsty. But, you know, with us, it's the same thing. You know, sometimes we, you know, on one hand, the Lord is so gracious to us. But on the other hand, when something happened to us, we complain. But the Lord wants to show us, you know, expose us that we can, we may just come to Him. Okay, I'm touched by this matter of the Moses. Eventually, when he struck the rock twice, God said, you cannot enter into the good land. So because he violated God's economy. God's economy is Christ should die only once, not twice. But he struck, not just the first time, the second time. In fact, this concerning God's economy is such a big matter. And God's economy, of course, Christ only died once. That's good enough. But God's economy, when he when he created man, his economy was he wants to work himself into us. So today, everything God is doing is with this goal. God wants to work yourself into us. So this matter of eating is just concerning God wants us to take him in, that he may transform us, that we may be reconstituted, to be not Egyptians, no more Egyptians, but we have Christ as our everything. You know, this is what God is doing. So thank the Lord that today, this morning, we are just here enjoying our portion in God's economy. Enjoy He as our food, enjoy He as our drink. A brother stayed with me for a while, and he's in some kind of medical rotation. He mentioned to me that his brother is older than him, and his brother received the law and now went through the full-time training and is serving. To him, he said, you know, I didn't go through the full-time training. I didn't, you know. He asked me, you know, how did you go on until today? And I said, firstly, I realized, you know, that everything you do in this life is all temporary. It's all temporary. So I kind of realizing that, you know, today, if I can be in the church, that's my, that's the best thing happened to me, because I'm in God's economy. In the church life, we don't provide any, encourage anybody in your natural ability or anything. But in the church life, we are here just brothers and sisters. We are just here eating and drinking. And that's the best thing. That's why I told him that, you know, thank the Lord. You know, the Lord saved me and revealed his economy to me. And the other thing I mentioned to him was that it's God's mercy. It's God's mercy. It's nothing, you know, I do or anything, but rather daily he supplied the fresh grace, fresh mercy, caused me to continue daily just eating and drinking. So today, what we need is daily eating and drinking and go on and following the Lord. And that's all that the Lord requires of us. The Lord doesn't require us to do anything. You do bad things, God doesn't want it. You do good things, God doesn't want neither. When the children of Israel, God brought them to the mountain of God, and God gave them the Ten Commandments, they said, we will do it. Guess what?
Did God say, wow, they are so good?
No. The whole situation changed. You know, there was thundering, there was an earthquake, there was fire, you know, God was not happy. So in other words, God doesn't want you to do good. God doesn't want you to do bad. God just wants you, God just wants me daily to eat him and drink him and follow him. Okay, at the end, let me just mention how to drink him. How to drink him. Let's read the verses in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Okay, let's read it together. For also in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit. So to drink is firstly you are given to drink. And here it shows us that God first positioned us. We need to be in the right position in order to drink. And this also in the picture of Samaritan woman. Let's read John chapter 4, verse 14. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water gushing up into eternal life. This verse shows that the Lord wants to give us drink. What we need is, we just need to come to the Lord. So to drink, we need to come to the Lord. But in fact, you see the picture in John. Who comes to who? The Lord comes to the Samaritan woman. So today, when you are coming, in fact, the Lord is there waiting for you. So we just need to come to the Lord. And when I read John chapter 4, in the beginning, I didn't know whether did the woman had the drink or no. I didn't know. But eventually I found out he had a drink, because eventually he threw his water pot and he went back to his, the village people and tell them, you know, such a one is here. Come and see. And so he had a drink. But the Lord, in order for him to drink, the Lord touched her, because the Lord mentioned to her, you want to drink? You have five husbands. That means she has a background. She needs to confess her sins. So for us to come to the Lord drink, we need to be in the right position, and we need to come to him. We need to open to him, and we need to ask him. But to ask him, at the same time, the Lord will shine on us. So whatever the Lord shines upon us, if we just acknowledge, and that's where the drinking starts. So today, to drink the Lord, in fact, is not difficult. The Lord wants to give a drink. And the Lord, whenever we come to him, we need to open to him. We need to confess our sins, and we need to speak to him. So the speaking causes us to drink. The speaking will, in fact, speaking on, in another sense is the flowing. The Samaritan woman spoke to the Lord. He was speaking to the rock, and he got the drink. And after he drank, then he went to his people. He spoke. That was the flow. So the second part of the message was concerning digging the well. So that the Lord will have, we can allow the Spirit as the water of life to flow freely. Amen. So saints, we all had a drink. Now we all need to flow. Flow is on one hand speaking to the Lord, on the other hand speak to one another. So unless if you drink, if you don't let go, the water hose will be clogged, right? Then the flow will stop. So today we need to drink and we need to speak. We need to flow. So the living water will not stop. And our drinking can continue. In fact, at the end, this eating and drinking, it will lead us to the New Jerusalem. You know, the water of life, from the throne will flow. The Lord told Samaritan woman, the drink will be unto eternal life. And that is, in fact, New Jerusalem. So today, if we flow, we drink, and that will lead us to the end, to the New Jerusalem. Amen. Brother Peter will continue.
Brothers and sisters, there are two sets of words that we can all remember from this past week. And the first set is speak and drink. Amen. Speak and drink. And the second set is dig and flow. Amen. We all got that? Speak and drink, dig and flow. If you got that, you got the overall theme of this past week. Now, before I get into the digging part, the flowing and digging, I want to share something with you about the rock that I think will be a shepherding that was a shepherding to me, and I hope will be a shepherding to us all. Our Christ is a wonderful rock. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, saints, could you bring that up, please? It says, let's all read it together. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So here you see that Christ is the rock from which the waters flow so that the people may drink, so that we can drink. And if you look at this verse, it reveals a very unique aspect about Christ that's not revealed in other places in the divine revelation. Here it says that the spiritual rock does what? It followed them. Christ followed them. Right. What does this mean? Well, saints, almost every Christian, and probably all of us, have prayed for the Lord's leading and guidance at some point in our lives. Have you ever prayed for the Lord to, Lord, lead me? Especially the young adults, you know, you come to the junctures of life. Lord, lead me the job, lead me the spouse. As a student, lead me the school. You know, and then when you get older, I'm sure there are more and more life decisions. We ask the Lord to lead us, and sometimes the Lord will lead us outwardly in a definite way. But sometimes, saints, we all can testify that there is no outward leading from the Lord. There is a quietness in the Lord's answer. And we feel that we have come to a dry place, and we do not know where the Lord is shepherding us. Brothers and sisters, have you ever journeyed to a dry place? In that dry spell, we feel that our spirit is feeble, our soul is thirsty, and even your body may feel weakened, like it's sucked dry. We've all been in these kinds of situations. But when we are in a dry and thirsty place, in a prolonged period of time, one morning we may open the Bible, and suddenly a verse jumps out at us, and we touch a trickle of water. Or maybe we're in a dry spell, and we go to a meeting, and it's like any other meeting that you go during the week. But one saint speaks at that meeting, and suddenly you sense that there is a stream of living water. And you scratch your head and you wonder, where did this water come from? You ever had that experience? You're dry and you go to a meeting and suddenly you're enlivened? And you ask the Lord, Lord, where were you all this time? And the Lord says, and this is the part that I experienced, I enjoy. The Lord says, I was here all the time following you as the spiritual rock. I was ready to give you water in case you ever needed me. And now you know what 1 Corinthians 10:4 means when it says, a spiritual rock followed them, and the rock was Christ. And then we will worship the Lord, and we will say, Lord, now I know you as the one who follows me. You know, saints, when we are strong, we often like to declare, oh, I will follow the Lamb wherever he may go, right? When we're strong, we always like to declare that. But brothers and sisters, we all have weak moments. We all have moments where we feel like we can't follow the Lord. And in those moments, it's not our following that means anything, but it's the Christ that follows us, that is a shepherding to us. So this past week, I just really enjoyed what a Christ we have. Amen. Oh, Christ is our rock. Amen. Christ follows us. Amen. I'm just so happy that wherever I am, wherever I go, in a sense, if you just turn around, Christ is right there as the rock. And he's ready to give us living water. Okay, so that's the lighthearted part, if you will. So please bear with me. Now we come to the heavy lifting, the matter of the digging, which is a serious matter. You know, in Numbers 20, the water does not only come out of a rock. That's Numbers chapter 20. The water also comes out of a well. And whereas the rock in Numbers 20 typifies Christ on the cross, smitten by the authority of God's law so that the living water can flow out, the well in Numbers 21, so not the rock anymore, typifies the Christ that is within, right? So the Christ that is without is the rock in Numbers 20. The Christ that is within is the well in Numbers 21. And you know, we can all enjoy speaking to the rock, like Brother Timothy said. You know, there are times, right, when we feel kind of down, and then we say, Lord, I know you're the rock. Lord, you can give me living water. You are the Spirit. And the more we declare that, oh, the more living we feel. We've all experienced speaking to the rock. But, saints, there are times when we speak to the rock, and no matter how much speaking you do, you still sense that there's not much flow. There's not much water. But that's not normal. Because in John, the Lord said, out of he who believes, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The Lord didn't say, he who overcomes, out of his being shall flow rivers of living water. The Lord said, he who believes, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So every believer's normal condition is to have rivers of living water flow out. If that's the case, I ask you, do you sense the flow coming out of you every day? And if not, what's the reason? And you have to consider Numbers 21 in the context of the book of Numbers. A few chapters before Numbers 21, there was perhaps the greatest rebellion among God's people recorded up to that point. And God's wrath was so severe that for the first time, and perhaps for the last time, I'm not sure, God swallowed up the sons of rebellion. And not only did God swallow up directly, he brought these ones directly into Hades. Not only did God swallow up these ones who rebelled, he also caused a plague to go among them that killed 14,700 Israelites. You just consider, if you were there among God's people in that day, and people around you were just falling left and right, being killed by the plague that God had sent because of their murmuring and their rebellion. And that was the situation. And not only so, but before Numbers 21, we know Aaron had made a golden calf. He cooperated with that. He also murmured. And we know Miriam, Moses' sister, had also complained against Moses. Well, saints, you know what is the result of Aaron and Miriam? In chapter 20, verse 1, says, the children of Israel, the whole assembly, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. The result of Miriam's failure was death. And before there was the digging in 21, listen to what happened to Aaron. It said, then Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have been given, because you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Later it says, and Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And you can imagine this, as the garment was taken off of Aaron, it says, Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. And the whole assembly, they witnessed, they saw that Aaron had expired. And all the house of Israel wept for Aaron for 30 days. The result of Miriam's failure was death. The result of Aaron's failure was death. And even Moses, we had read in Numbers that even Moses had his failure, and God prohibited him that he would never enter into the land which he had seen. Amidst this kind of situation, all these failures, in Numbers 21, there's something very special. It's the matter of digging. Digging. You have to realize that by the time it was Numbers 21, there were these failures, the rebellion, and it had become all this dirt. You can imagine, it was like all this dirt that was sitting atop the children of Israel. I just ask you to consider the example of the well. When you have a well and the water wants to come forth, usually there's no problem. But the water has a problem when there is dirt on top of the well, right? When there's dirt, especially layers of dirt, layers of stone sitting on top of a well, water cannot gush forth. I heard that in the Sahara, or in many deserts around the world, actually, you know what the oases are? The oases are just where you can say it's an underground spring that doesn't have any dirt on top, and so the water is able to come out. But actually, did you know that in the Sahara, there's the biggest underground spring in the world? It's the Nubian Aquifer. But the water that's underneath the Sahara doesn't come out because, why? Because there's all that layer of sand, all that layer of sand covering the spring. In the same way, our heart can be like a well that's covered up. There is no flow because there is no opening. We may say, Lord, there's a problem with the water, but the problem is the dirt. The problem is not Christ. The problem is our heart. We have a rich well, a rich fountain inside each one of us, but there is not enough digging. There is not enough unclogging of the well. In Hymns 250, for stanza 2, it says, Christ the rock is riven, living waters flowing, but within my heart now it is blocked from going. The living water is flowing, but the Christ that's within your heart, is that Christ blocked from going? So this sentence was crucial from this past week. We need to go to the Lord to be dug out for the free flow of living water from within each one of us. You know, there's another place in the ministry that compares this to the unclogging of the arteries. You know, our arteries, it's easy for us to have plaque, especially, you know, someone like me. I love Popeyes, I love McDonald's, I love KFC, I love all the fast food that America has to offer. But you know what? When I go to the doctor may tell me, hey, your blood sugar levels are getting high, or your LDL cholesterol levels are getting high. What is that? That's clogging. That's clogging. In the same way, in our Christian life, in the arteries of our psychological heart, we can have plaque that clogs the arteries so that the living water doesn't flow as well. And I just want to share this with you. You know, there are different kinds of dirt. And we saw this past week that there's dirt in our mind, emotion, will, and conscience. And I won't say anything about the conscience because I think, you know, saints, I leave it to you to share that. I want to share two things. One kind of dirt is the imagination in our mind. Imagination. Sometimes I'm listening to the saints speak or I'm reading a message and all of a sudden I will imagine that, for example, tomorrow, Monday, I will have a stack of work just spread all across my desk. And when I just think about that, it just gives me a headache. And then I lose my focus in the message. Or sometimes I'm sitting somewhere and I'm listening, and suddenly I just, you know what I imagine? I imagine how my managers probably think of me and how that might impact my promotion. Okay, this one definitely applies. Sometimes I'm sitting in a meeting and maybe there's a disagreement between me and my wife. And so I'm sitting in the meeting and I'm imagining, when I go home, what is my wife going to say? Okay, she's probably going to say this. And then I should probably say this in response. And then she will counter with this. So I need to counter with that. I have all kinds of imaginations. Brothers and sisters, do you have imaginations?
Yes.
These imaginations, they're like dirt clogging the well in our being, such that Christ cannot flow. Another kind of dirt is very serious, is rebellion. And rebellion is related to our will. Doesn't the Lord just know how to put the right persons above us at work? I have a manager, his name is Bright. He's not among us, so I can say his name. And he mysteriously knows all the right buttons to press. You know, the brothers don't know my buttons, but this senior manager, he knows my buttons. And he presses the buttons. And sometimes when I go to him and I'm sitting there for the 8th time during the day, and he's speaking to me at night, and I no longer have the face of a man, but I have the face of a lion. And I go back to my desk and I just say, Lord, forgive me for my rebellion. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to the authorities that God placed over us, we all have dirt that must be dug. We all have problems with the authorities that God places over us, whether in our family, whether in an institution, whether in the country. We all have the dirt of rebellion that has to be unclogged in our being. Otherwise, it will be very hard for us to enjoy the Lord and hard for us to rejoice in the Lord. And just the last point I want to share related to the matter of digging is that you can see now that digging is a fundamental and serious exercise before the Lord. You know who did the digging in Numbers 21? It wasn't the common people. It says that the leaders and the nobles, they were the ones that did the digging. They're the ones with the scepters and the staffs leading the people. But when you have the failure of Moses, of Aaron, and Miriam, the leaders had to what? They had to humble themselves. And they used their scepters, their symbol of authority, to do what? To dig. What would you use to dig? You would use a shovel. I would use a shovel. But to them, their failures had humbled them to a point. I need to take the lead to dig. So they took their scepters and their staffs, and the nobles and the leaders, they got down and they did the digging. But here's the thing that's very interesting. Numbers 21, 16 through 17, it says, Jehovah said to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, sing to it. Brothers and sisters, I was impressed that singing goes hand in hand with digging. What is the atmosphere when the nobles and the leaders were digging? They were singing to the well. Many times when we dig, it's easy to introspect. You get down about yourself. Lord, I'm so bad in this and that. You know, we have a hymn among us, hymn 744. In dealings with the Lord as life, we need a proper heart. And then it lists all of the things in which our heart must be proper. We need a heart that is pure, a heart that's loving, an obedient heart, a heart that doesn't condemn us. All these things. And when you sing this kind of hymn, sometimes I can't help but your tears come down. And then while there is repenting, sometimes it's easy to, you condemn yourself a lot. It's like the medieval priests, you flay yourself. But consider what the people of Israel were doing as the nobles were digging. They were singing to the well. When we dig, we should have a kind of anticipation. The anticipation is, Lord, you're the living water, and the more I dig, the more you will flow. Oh, spring up, oh well. Lord, I'm here digging. I'm not here feeling bad about myself. I'm here to say, spring up. Lord, spring up. Amen. Lord, you've been blocked for too long. Spring up, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord, spring up, oh well. Amen. I need a proper heart. I don't have one. But Lord, I don't want you to not flow. It's not normal for me to not flow. So spring up, oh well. You sing to the well, you declare to the well, you speak to the well. And you know what, saints? When they were singing to the well like this, eventually the well sprung up. I hope in our digging we would have a singing. I hope we would learn to use the hymnal, actually, in our digging. I really think that according to Numbers 21, our digging should have an atmosphere of singing. And I'm just going to conclude with this last paragraph from the book, The Economy of God. Brother Lee says, the purpose of this chapter is not to give us further teaching. Please note this. The speaking today is not to give further teaching, but to encourage us to go to the Lord to be dug. We must not talk too much about doctrines, about circumstances, about future steps, or about guidance concerning the Lord's will. We ourselves must be dug. Why? Because I believe that even up to the present moment, most of us do not have the free flow of living water. Our prayers are not so free. Our testimonies are not so strong. And in many ways, we have been defeated and are not so victorious. This is due to one thing. The flow of the spiritual life, or the spring of living water, is not free within us. There is much dirt within us that must be dug out. And you may ask, what is this dirt? It is the dirt in our conscience, our emotion, our will, and our mind. We have to spend more and more time with the Lord and pray according to His inner leading. According to that leading, we must confess and dig away all the dirt within us. I believe these instructions are clear. We need to practice them. Sometimes we need to pray with others, but the digging prayer is more prevailing in privacy. It is extremely necessary to spend more private time with the Lord. You may say, I am so busy. But although we are busy with the duties of the day, we can still touch the Lord and dig away the dirt. Many times while I am working, I apply myself, not myself, Brother Lee here, to the digging exercise. We should learn to pray, to contact the Lord, and to dig away all the inward dirt. Brothers and sisters, I believe it is in the Lord's heart, and I hope that none of us will leave today without doing some digging. As you're digging the barriers in your heart, in your mind, emotion, conscience, your will, dig with some singing to the well. I think if we do some digging, the Lord will be able to flow freely among us for the building up of the body of Christ. And now it's your turn to prophesy.